Roethlisberger, the quarterback, was all hug it, chug it, football all night.
Hearts are pounding in Denver. Nobody but Terrell here. Davis into the end zone, rocking, standing up. Denver is in the lead. Denver's going to win it. Oh, baby, they're going to win this thing.
Probably the final play of the game.
It is caught by Dyson. Can he get in? No, he cannot. And the Rams have won the Super Bowl.
There's one thing I want to say here tonight. It's only four words. This one's for John.
Thanks for joining us for today's episode, The Defense Crumbles in the Second Half, Name Change Pending. This is your host, Brian Preece. You find me on Twitter, at bpreece24. That's at bpreece24. You can also find the podcast on Facebook. Just search for Name Change Pending. And on Instagram, at namechangepending24. So, you know, we'll do our weekly Denver Broncos recap and touch on a couple things offensively and defensively and give you my opinions, thoughts on the game yesterday in which the Broncos lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars 26-24 on a end of regulation field goal. It's still something I'm coming to terms with. It was a tough loss yesterday. They played well enough to win the game, and it was frustrating to see the defense struggle so badly in the second half. But so the first half looked pretty good. In the second half, the Jaguars came out, had a 10-plus minute drive, and really seemed to wear the Broncos defense down, and I don't think they recovered from that. Overall, there were some positive adjustments that we saw on the offensive side of the ball. The Rich Scangarello, the Broncos offensive coordinator, made some adjustments to have Joe Flacco get the ball out quicker, three-step drops, some slant patterns, more timing patterns. So that was good to see. Defensively, the pass rush showed up a little bit. We got five sacks on the day. Still haven't forced a turnover, but I'll take five sacks anytime. Could have had a few more if Gardner Minshew didn't have such good footwork in the pocket. I mean, to me, this was the first legitimately competitive game the Broncos have had this year. Even the Bears game where they lost, it just didn't feel like they deserved to win that game. And then a quick shout out, and I'll touch on it later as well, but a quick shout out to Broncos linebacker Von Miller. He got two sacks on the day, becoming the 34th player in NFL history with 100 sacks. So I mean, pretty certain Von Miller is going to be a Hall of Famer at this point. He got a Super Bowl MVP on his resume, a Super Bowl championship, of course, and 100 sacks with plenty of years to go. So I would imagine by the end of this season, Von Miller can go from 34th. He can get up near 20 at this point. So let's talk about the offense real quick. Last week, I did discuss on the podcast the need for the offense to really change the way they were going about things. And what it came down to is the offensive line isn't good enough for Joe Flacco to have these 5 and 7 step drops and wide receivers to run long routes that take a while to develop. They just can't keep the pressure off of Flacco for long enough, and Flacco's not able to move well enough in the pocket to avoid that pressure. So, like I said, offensive coordinator Rich Scangarello made some adjustments here and focused on timing routes, some of those three-step drops, and just getting the ball out quickly. Even if you throw an incomplete pass, get that ball out quickly. We saw a lot of successful slant patterns, and I think Joe Flacco overall did a much better job of giving his receivers an opportunity to get yards after the catch, which was really nice to see, and somewhere the Broncos have lacked this season. They came out with and scored the most points for the team since December 2nd of last season against the Bengals, and that's kind of depressing. That's 7 games, I believe it is, in which they've scored less than 17 points. So good to see him put 24 on the board, but, you know, we needed 27. What can you do? And then where'd the running game go? Looking at the stats, the Broncos only had 16 rushing attempts as a team and 4 in the second half, two each for Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman. Lindsay was averaging 5.9 yards per carry, and it makes me wonder why they stopped going to that running game. Joe Flacco only completed less than 58% of his passes, and it seemed like once they got away from that running game, they really stagnated as an offense and were unable to maintain possession of the ball in the second half. And that really killed them because the defense was gassed after allowing a 10.5-minute drive to begin the half. And then they just couldn't get stops. They couldn't get off the field, unfortunately. So Joe Flacco went 22 of 38 in this game. He had his first 300-yard game as a Bronco with 3 touchdowns and 1 interception. It was his best game as a Bronco. Still leaves something to be desired, especially that 58% completion percentage. That's just not good enough in today's NFL. He did make some improvements. I mentioned just throwing ahead of his receivers, allowing them to make some plays, get yards after the catch. Emmanuel Sanders, Cortland Sutton, Noah Fant's 25-yard touchdown, all plays in which Joe Flacco put the ball where it needed to be so that his guys could do something with the ball. Emmanuel Sanders, he continues to play really well. He led the offense with 5 catches for 104 yards. Cortland Sutton had 6 catches for 62 yards and 2 touchdowns. Each of them were targeted 9 times, which is good to see. Those two are definitely focal points of the offense. I wish I could have found the yards after catch numbers, but unfortunately those just haven't been posted yet, or I'm not subscribed to the right site, so I wasn't going to pay $200 to subscribe to PFF. Well, what can you do? Rookie Noah Fant, the tight end, he's been up and down this year. As far as a pass receiver, he runs decent routes. He's definitely got some speed at the tight end position that it's tough to defend. But blocking-wise, he's really struggled with the Broncos, especially when he's tasked with blocking solo. If he can get in on a double team, it's not too bad. But trying to block a defensive end on his own, he's been called for holding several times this year, and it doesn't seem to be improving. Continuing to talk about blocking, I didn't see any flags thrown on left tackle Garrett Bowles, so that, to my knowledge, that makes 2 consecutive weeks that he hasn't gotten a holding call, which might be a record for Garrett Bowles. It did seem like there was a lot of miscommunication with the offensive line. There was one play in particular. There's some pressure up the middle from the Jaguars, and center Connor McGovern and right guard Ron Leary just didn't appear to slide and pick up that pressure, and they had a little discussion about it on the field. You could see that happening. And really, when it comes down to it, Joe Flacco is the type of quarterback. He's just not going to be successful, and most quarterbacks aren't. They won't be successful with pressure coming up the middle like that, and Flacco is not capable of moving to avoid that, so the offensive line can't make those mistakes if they want to be successful. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll come back and talk about the Denver Broncos defense. Thanks for joining Name Change Pending. We appreciate you joining us on Name Change Pending today. Make sure and jump on Twitter. Follow your hosts Brian Priest at bpriest24, Tommy Girone at ruthless_lupe, and Josh Keel at Rise and Shout. Also, we know that you're busy, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your day and give us a 5-star rating on your podcatcher of choice, that would be so amazing. Help us move up those algorithms. I don't totally understand how they work, but I know with some 5-star ratings, the podcast shows up higher on the lists. And we want to help other people find the show, don't we? Doesn't really matter what you say for us. Maybe suggest some new verses for Ruthless Lupe. But thanks again for joining us, and stay tuned for more episodes of Name Change Pending. And we're back. Defensively, the Broncos' pass rush finally showed up for the first time this year. They had 5 total sacks on the game, 4 in the first half. Von Miller had 2 of those first-half sacks, and that gives him 100 for his career. I mentioned previously he's the 34th player in NFL history to reach 100 sacks. So congratulations to Von Miller. That's wonderful. I'm excited to watch him get inducted into the Hall of Fame in a few years. And it was great to see Derek Wolfe come back this week. He injured his ankle in the Packers game last week, was in a walking boot most of the week, but he was able to work his way back and start his 100th straight game for the Broncos. In the first half, I thought the defense looked pretty good. They were getting consistent pressure on Gardner Minshew, and the secondary was playing well. Turning point for the Broncos in the first half, I think when middle linebacker Josie Jewell re-aggravated a hamstring injury, and things really started to go downhill from there. Overall in the game, I thought the linebackers struggled to cover any passing routes, whether it was tight ends, running backs, wide receivers, it didn't matter. It just seemed like guys were getting open when they were supposed to be covered by linebackers. Todd Davis, I played his heart out. He looked okay, but you could tell as that game wore on in the second half, he was exhausted. He was struggling to get up after each play and just worn out. With Josie Jewell going out, Todd Davis had to shoulder a lot more responsibility for the defense, and you could tell he was struggling with that. Jaguars came out, set the tone in the second half with a 16-play, 75-yard, 10.5-plus-minute drive. That drive included 11 rushing plays, and they were able to cap it off with a touchdown, and frankly, the Broncos' defense never recovered after that. The Broncos allowed the Jaguars to average 7.1 yards per carry and 269 yards rushing. For a team that prides itself on his on its defense and hired a head coach in Vic Fangio that was expected to come in and keep that defense strong. It was a frustrating performance, to say the least. When you look for something to point the finger at for why they allowed 269 yards rushing, it just comes down to poor tackling, like awful tackling. There were probably at least 10 to 15 missed tackles by the Broncos. I tried to find those numbers, but I wasn't able to locate them. That's just going off the top of my head based on what I remember. Leonard Fournette, the Jaguars running back, he had 192 yards rushing in the second half alone. Most of those yards were after multiple missed tackles. And it also seemed like there were missed tackles, yeah, but it seemed like a lot of times Fournette was getting through the hole without being touched, and it wasn't until he got to the second and third levels where the Broncos could even get a hand on him. And it's just unacceptable, especially for a big back like that. You let Fournette get ahead of steam, and he's nearly impossible to stop. There were some injuries affecting the Broncos in the game yesterday. They came in shorthanded in the secondary. Free agent acquisitions Kareem Jackson and Bryce Callahan both missed the game. Bryce Callahan has yet to play for the Broncos after a foot injury last year while he was playing for the Bears, and is expected to be out at least another month. And then Kareem Jackson, the safety signed from the Texans last year, he missed a game due to a hamstring injury. And you could tell that missing Kareem Jackson on the back end of that defense had a huge effect on the Broncos yesterday. We did see some good rookie impacts on the defensive side of the ball. Undrafted rookie Malik Reed was able to get his first career sack. And defensive lineman Draymond Jones showed some good work on the defensive line. And linebacker Justin Hollins got a lot of playing time, had six tackles, and looked good. Each guy, you could tell there were some growing pains, and they made some rookie mistakes. But I think they've got some potential and really could contribute to this defense as the year goes on. It was also good to see the team make adjustments and getting those rookies involved, and just, you know, they've moved away from Isaac Yiadom for the most part at corner after he's struggled for a majority of the year. Devontae Bosby's gotten a lot of playing time and looked pretty good overall. And then time of possession in the second half, that was the biggest contributing factor, I feel like, that wore the Broncos down. The Jaguars had the ball for 24 minutes and 30 seconds of the second half compared to the Broncos with 5.5 minutes. You know, 10.5 minute drive to start the second half puts the Broncos behind the eight ball, and they were never able to recover from that and get stops to stay off the field. And the offense couldn't keep the ball long enough to give the defense any rest. You could tell that the entire defense was gassed. Bradley Chubb left the game twice with cramps. I mentioned Todd Davis. I mean, the kid played his heart out, but he just had nothing left in the tank. He could barely get up off the turf after each play. And then one more concerning point that we touched on last week is defense still hasn't forced any turnovers. That's something that they have to take a look at. They're going to have to figure that out, because if you can't force turnovers and you lose a turnover battle every week, it's just tough to win in the NFL. We're going to take one more break, and then we will come back, and I'll just go over my overall thoughts on yesterday's performance and what the team is going to need to do to improve. Thank you for listening to this episode of Name Change Pending. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Name Change Pending and subscribe to get the newest episodes of the podcast and to check out photos of hosts Josh Keel, Tommy Girone, and Brian Priest as we travel the continent to do what we love, watch sports. Also, I know you've got a lot going on today, but if you could take 2 minutes out of your busy schedule to give the podcast a 5-star review on your podcatcher of choice, we would greatly appreciate it. Those algorithms can be tricky, and all I know is that 5-star ratings jump us up the lists. So thanks for tuning in, and now back to the show. And welcome back to Name Change Pending. We're talking about the Broncos' Week 4 performance against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Overall, I thought this was the team's best performance of the season so far. The defense got gassed in the second half. They couldn't keep up late. I mean, it was poor tackling and just the fact that the Jaguars were running all over them. There wasn't much that could be done, unfortunately. Jaguars quarterback Gardner Minshew, he made some really special plays, especially for a rookie quarterback with his lack of experience. It was incredible. His footwork in the pocket, being able to move and slide and feel pressure and avoid that pressure, especially in the second half, created multiple opportunities for the Jaguars offense. There was one play late in the third quarter, I believe it was, where he slid and moved around for a good 4 to 5 seconds, avoided at least four different opportunities for the Broncos to get the sack and then threw a touchdown pass. It's just deflating when something like that happens. I mentioned Malik Reed, a rookie linebacker, got his first sack. Justin Hollins came in. He had 6 tackles, and defensive lineman DeMarcus Walker looked pretty good. He got some consistent push in the middle of the defensive line, also had a sack. On the offensive side of the ball, I thought they showed some terrific adjustments. They took pressure off of the offensive line with quick timing patterns and 3-step drops from Joe Flacco. It wasn't a perfect offensive performance by any means, but it was a huge improvement over what Broncos fans have seen previously. It almost looked like the makings of a competent offense for me, so that's exciting, I guess, compared to the Case Keenum experiment last year and what we saw through the first 3 weeks this season. One additional adjustment that I would like to see the Broncos make is I look at the run-pass discrepancy. I really think they need to commit more to the running game. You got to take some of the pressure off of Joe Flacco, get the ball to Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman. They combined for 15 carries yesterday, and that's just not enough when Joe Flacco is throwing the ball 38 times. And it's not like the Broncos were trailing in the game. There was no reason for them to constantly drop Flacco back and be throwing the ball. Run the ball, try and wear down that Jaguars defense. And in the second half, you've got to run the ball and stay on the field. That's what killed the defense, is they didn't have any opportunity to rest. They allowed a 10.5-minute drive to start the half, and the Broncos offense just couldn't get any traction until the last drive of the game. By then, it was just too late. The defense was worn down, and they had nothing left. Punter Colby Wadman continues to look strong on special teams. 4 of his 6 punts were downed inside the 20. 2 of those punts downed within the 5. So that was great to see, playing the field position game, and they did well there. Next week, the Broncos travel to Los Angeles to face off with the 2-2 Chargers. The Chargers have been inconsistent this year. They've lost 2 winnable games against the Texans and Lions, but you can look for Chargers running back Melvin Gordon to get his first playing time of the season after ending his holdout last Thursday. And then running back Austin Eckler should still probably get the bulk of the carries for the Chargers, but Melvin Gordon is going to take some of those, and I think going to give this offense a boost. Austin Eckler does have 3 touchdowns, and he's averaging 3.9 yards per carry, so with the way the Broncos' run defense looked this week, they'll have to make some adjustments in order to be competitive next week against the Chargers. As far as the Chargers' defense, it's struggled with injuries this year. All-pro safety Derwin James is yet to play. He's out with a Lisfranc injury. Defensive end Melvin Ingram, I think he's left every game so far this year with an injury. He left in the first half with a hamstring injury and didn't return. No word yet on his availability for next week. And middle linebacker Denzel Perryman also left with an injury, and not sure what's going on with that. But Broncos fans, you can tune in for that kickoff next weekend in Los Angeles. It's scheduled for a 2:05 Mountain Standard Time kickoff, and the game's going to be televised on CBS. This is your host, Brian Priest. Find me on Twitter at bpriest24, and thank you for joining us on Name Change Pending.